Hi, you're listening to Boggy Talk, Faith Conversations in the Mud, a resource of Church on Bayshore.
Hey, welcome to Boggy Talk. It is Easter week, Woo! Which is awesome and also exhausting, but wonderful.
Yeah.
Jesus is alive.
He is. And it's been a month since I've been on Boggy Talk.
Yeah.
4 weeks, 28 days.
I mean, it has been. Where you been?
Hanging out, man. Hanging out. So Orlando, Kansas,
yeah.
Memphis.
All the things.
All here.
Yes.
All over the place.
Yeah. It's been, it's been a busy March. And here we are at the end of it. And it's Easter. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was cool to have the
It's wild, too, like spring break, then Easter. Like,
With Easter being the end of March, it's just, it really has kind of thrown my groove off. Because I'm like, it's a lot. It's a lot to plan, and to be try to take some time off during spring break to be with family. But hey,
hope you guys had a good spring break.
Yeah, I hope we did too. Recording this before, I did too.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, hey, we wrapped up our series one. We wrapped up our series Everyone.
It's not very 2024 of us to have two words, though.
That's right.
Or even all the vowels.
That's right. We need to like take out all the vowels. It would just be V-R-Y. Free.
Number one.
And,
Yeah.
That's the very trendy marketing thing to do.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about that today and really just.
Why is that? That's kind of a weird thing.
I don't know.
Did he start that? The band?
The artist,
Yeah.
Or whatever he is, the artist, the band.
Yeah.
Maybe. It's kind of like, maybe it just follows the whole like minimalistic movement, the simplistic, style.
As a vowel, I would be very offended.
Yeah, if you were just
I don't think it's very inclusive.
If you were just one vowel, what would you be?
How in a day of diversity, equality, and inclusion are we okay with words that
eliminating
don't have
letters?
Yeah.
Yeah, but really, if
aren't we all about adding that letter? That LGBTQ plus thing keeps getting bigger, right?
Listen, when Christy and I moved into our first neighborhood after we got married, there was a lady on our street, and we're trying to be all, let's meet our neighbors and be like Jesus. And there's a lady who was like, she was plastic surgery out the wazoo, like bleached blonde hair.
What part of the body is the wazoo?
I don't know.
Since you said she had plastic surgery, I'm just very curious where she had that plastic surgery.
Very obviously, I had a lot of plastic surgery everywhere.
Okay.
And
wherever the wazoo was,
and so we're,
she
had. That's just an expression you made it sound though. Oh, man. Anyway, I was like, what's your name? And she was like, Jay. And I was like, oh, like, how do you spell that? J-O-I. She's like, deadpan. Like, no, just the letter J.
Dang.
Like, well, all right, we got a live one here.
Dang.
Man, you did not want to be on her bad side. Let me just tell you what, in the neighborhood. Somehow,
that's how you started getting called J-Dub, though, right?
Listen, that's right, J-Dub.
Yeah, J-Dub.
But we were on her good side, thankfully, because I think we just tried to be nice. A lot of people in the neighborhood were not on her good side. And she let everyone know. Mm. She's one of those people. Mm-hmm. Anyway. Mm-hmm. So,
and he means literal good side because she had so much plastic surgery.
She only
had it
on half.
One side was bad.
She's like, I only have half my face done.
Okay, well, everyone, so, she
everyone,
matters.
She does,
matters, right?
You know, yep. And we did. We shared the gospel with her and invited her to church. And anyway.
Were you like, oh, Jay? Well, do you know what else starts with Jay? Jesus.
Jesus. That's exactly how we led that conversation.
Okay.
You're always looking for the in
that's
road.
Right.
So,
that's right. You good, though?
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah.
Man, lots of change. Lots of change.
I don't know how we got there.
Here.
Yes.
And so,
yes.
Yeah, just rolling. Just
yeah.
Rolling.
Yeah. Alex, last Sunday was Sunday.
Oh, bye, Alex. Yeah, you're probably listening to Boggy Talk on your way to North Carolina.
Yeah. Hope you find your. I don't think he listens to Boggy Talk.
He has sometimes.
He does? Okay.
Yeah. Sometimes he said, hey, this was. But yeah, I don't, not a regular listener.
No.
But anyway, yeah, we miss you already. But
well, now that I know that, I don't.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
You are dead to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, hey, but God's good.
My wife also doesn't listen to Boggy Talk.
Christy listens to it. So, Christy does, and she gives me feedback.
I'm surprised Christy Ross doesn't listen to just see what I say about her. Yeah.
She's like, I already know. I'm never surprised when people are like, sure she's like, well, whatever. Yeah.
Okay, everyone.
So, why did we do this series? We've been walking through, the book of Philippians. We paused for these 3 weeks. So let's talk. We're going to talk about why we did this.
Well, sort of, because I was in Philippians on Sunday. Remember?
That's true. Yeah, kind of came back to it. Yeah. But why we did this? Well, why we felt this was necessary and good. Why the series? What are the challenges in our church? And what's our hope in it all? So I'm going to ask you, why we even do this?
Yeah, right. Why we even do this? Well, because of Philippians, really. I mean, like, here we are talking about who Jesus was, what he did for us, the end, you know, everybody's going to come to know him. And, like, as I talked about this past Sunday, like, there should be this urgency then about this present life because of the reality of heaven and hell and the reality of identity and who we are and what Christ has done for us. Like, that's why. And so specifically kind of slowing down was done because I do think it's an area of weakness in our church. I do think that, you know, man, this is too extreme. But, you know, when John writes to, is it Laodicea? And he says, you lost your first love. Is that them? Or is that Ephesus?
I can't.
Laodicea is lukewarm. Anyway, when he writes that, you know, I would say like Baptist churches, like their first love was evangelism, right? Like, like Jesus and therefore evangelism. And I do think like, you know, a lot of our churches have lost that, you know, and I don't know that we are intentionally evangelistic like we should. And so slowing down and really focusing in on that, hearing from Danny DeArmas and how God's worked in their church, and then hearing Lewis Miller's challenge to, you know, really focus on one person and be evangelistic. And then, of course, the urgency of heaven and hell from me this past Sunday. And then here we are with Easter, and you'll have all these people coming to church who don't know Jesus and probably won't come to church otherwise. Like, it just shows like the urgency of each of us engaging is what I would say.
Yeah. And let's talk about why we think the church is not doing great at this, like specifically our church, but really the church as a whole. And I think, you know, there's probably several threads we could unravel. I would say one is fear. But two, I think some of this is the fruit of the, hey, just to just invite them to church, have the attractional church model where it's like, hey, if you can just get them to come to church, like, and then let the pastor share.
Right.
And that's not new. Like, that's not a new thing in the 2020s or teens or even the late 1900s. Uh-huh. That makes it sound really
I thought you said tens, but with a twang. Teens. But you said teens.
Teens.
Teens. The teens.
I probably got tongue tied.
No, I think you said it right.
So I think, like, that's a piece of it is that if because what the, ultimately what that points to is that in general, many people don't feel either equipped or empowered, or they're just scared to share their God. And, you know, I think I can identify with all three of those things, you know, at different stages of life. So I think that's a major thread.
Yeah. I think, you know, I have a tendency to sound way too, like, matter of fact. So I realize that as I say this, and I say this out loud, but I do think, and I may have said some of this on Sunday, I just don't know because Sunday's actually in the future for us right now.
That's right.
It's in the past for so those
confusing.
Who are listening. Yeah, it is. It's like
this time.
Yeah, back to the future stuff. Anyway, I think we love our life too much. Mm. And so like in a small town, let's use our context.
Yeah.
In a small town, you know, if you have a conversation with your friend who you don't think understands the gospel, and in Niceville, they probably think they're good and going to heaven, then that creates some awkwardness in the relationship and it may not be the same again. And I think me included, we don't love people enough to be willing to embrace that awkwardness.
Yeah, take
and so like, I was even telling someone the other day, I'm like, I think some of my like hesitancy about being urgent about the gospel is like, you know, I want to be here for the long haul. I want to build relationships and I want more and more people to see who Jesus is. And I think like, I'm worried that if I'm like more blunt about it, then that'll like eliminate a lot of opportunities for me. And I realized like, what if I'm not saying, what if I like told our church like, hey, man, I've shared the gospel with 10,000 people in Niceville. And, you know, my time here has kind of come to an end because there's not that many more people to share the gospel with for me personally. So, because those people aren't going to listen to me, like, that's a good way to go out.
Yeah,
seriously.
There you go. I share
but,
with
like,
everybody.
Do I love my job security too much? You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm serious. Like, and so that's me. I wonder if, like, a lot of members of our church are just like, hey, this could have an effect on my life relationally, my kids and their sports and how they feel and how their friends view them. And so we're not, like, valuing people and valuing Jesus and heaven and hell like we should.
Yeah. I agree. I think the true belief in heaven and hell, what the Bible teaches, should give us urgency and a reason. What you're saying, like that comfort, and really what are they going to think about when that whether it's a fear of rejection or just like an unwillingness to be like what if they reject me that our friendship's over? I would say in most cases, if you've got a friendship with someone and you bring faith up and they reject you, like, it may be a while before you can bring it back up.
Yeah, yeah,
but,
right.
But I would say, by and large, most people just don't write people off.
No.
You know, especially when there's established relationships.
Yeah.
So I think...
It's different every time you talk. You're like,
yeah.
Hey, remember?
Or if the
remember
only
you're
time...
going to hell.
Yeah, if like the every only time. Time you talk
yeah,
is
right,
like, you
right.
know, if you're that neighbor who's like always like, so... That may
is
be the
what
case.
You want to be doing when Jesus comes back.
That's right, you yeah. know. But I think, on the flip side of that,
flip
I do
side.
Think on the flip, you already started last week, spring break. I think on the flip,
what?
You're making fun of my voice crack.
And you said spring break. You connected puberty and spring
because that was last week. I just said like last week was off. So, yes,
man.
Do I need to edit that now?
No, you got some. You got some funny things coming out the wazoo.
I'm just saying.
Anyway, keep going. Sorry.
I just think that on the flip side of that. I think that if our neighbors or friends know how important our faith is to us, they may be saying, why don't they talk about
it? I know.
Faith
Did you ever see
me?
That?
I really think that's probably true.
What was the comedian guy? Did you ever see that? That was powerful. The YouTube thing?
Tim, like Christian comedian? Or
No. Penn and Teller.
Oh,
did you ever
yes.
see that where
they
he was like saying
that.
Why it doesn't offend him if a Christian shares the gospel?
Yeah, he's like, if this is what you truly believe and you truly believe this, then I want you to tell me
yeah.
you don't love me enough to tell
right.
me.
Yeah, yeah, I thought that was really good.
So I do think that's probably the truth. I think, you know, I personally am like, oh gosh, they already know, like I use my neighborhood, for
yeah.
example. They already know he's the pastor and so they're expecting.
That's because you have a big clergy.
That's
like,
right.
Sign on your door.
Especially when we used to have our big van. They're like,
yeah,
"Oh, he just
yeah.
drives the church van." No, but I think you know, like,
that's funny.
But I think people kind of expect it. But I think what's important in those situations is like being in relationship with my neighbors, like, and being real, like, they know that we're real people. And I think
yeah.
because people make assumptions about Christians, especially, you know, judgment and all those things. In fact, Christy had a conversation with a neighbor the other day and they were just talking about kids and the challenge. And Christy says like, yeah, one of our kids is this challenge. And she later was like, your kid, I thought your kids were all fine. She's like, my kids are kids, you know, like they're challenging. There's hard, you know, it's real. She's like, oh, she's like, that's so refreshing to hear, you
Remember
know?
What Jason Duke said when we did Live Sent? He said, maybe the world doesn't see why they need the gospel because we're not showing them why we need
yeah.
the gospel.
Oof, yeah.
I think that's a great illustration mm-hmm. of that. Just,
yeah.
you know, by, you know, your wife having a relationship, talking about being real, like somebody's like, oh, I
yeah.
need the gospel.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think that's and I think like our hope from the series is that we'll invite people into our lives.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think
intentionally,
you know, when Danny was here, I call him Danny now. We, you know, we led three services together.
Well, we gave him a doctorate on our podcast, an honorary
right.
doctorate. He did that good of a job.
That's right.
We were like,
but I just think like that his illustration of being hospitable people and like that does mean opening our homes.
Yes,
but it just means opening our lives and being open.
That was
not
great.
Being shut.
I never got that connection in First Thessalonians.
Yeah,
that was great.
Being open to people. And when we, I think, you know, one of the things he was talking about is like, we sometimes like worry that like, what are people going to think if we're that hospitable or do I have, just be hospitable, just be kind. You know, it's so difficult to share with people you don't know, or if they don't know that you care and they don't know that even, I think having people like getting and being such a good relationship with people that they know that even if they tell you, I think everything you believe is wrong and you're a fool, that is not going to change how you treat them.
And, that's good.
You know, like, that should be, like, we should have that standing with people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, it really does have to, you know, Paul says in Philippians 3, we'll get there, that he counts, you know, all as loss for the sake of Christ. Like, and he even talks to suffering for Christ. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I think truly, like, if we don't long for this, there is a disconnect between our faith that we claim and who that faith is in's proclamation of what will happen in our life.
Yeah.
And so we have to ask, why don't I have his heart, right? Like, why am I not living that way? And we really need to deepen our relationship with him. You know, mm-hmm. missions exist because worship does not, John Piper said. And I think ultimately, like, if we really see Jesus as glorious, we want him to get more and more glory.
Yeah.
And we want more people to experience that. So our hope, you know, from mm-hmm. this series is maybe indirectly or directly in months and weeks and years to come, somebody's coming to know Jesus because of what the Spirit did in somebody's heart during these 3 weeks.
Yeah. Come on. And I think just being like just trusting the Holy Spirit to lead us.
Yeah.
You know, in our life group a couple of weeks ago, we were going through the book of Acts and we were reading the story of Cornelius and how he has this vision and send for Peter, and Peter likewise has this.
Don't you call him corn dog?
Corn dog.
That's probably what the Gen Z Bible
That's right.
calls him.
And then how Peter has this vision and it's the spread of the gospel to the Gentiles. And, you know, one of the major takeaways in reading that story for me is that you never know what God is doing in someone else.
That's right.
He's working in you.
That's right.
To cause your paths to cross.
That's right.
And why it's so important for us to listen to the Holy mm-hmm. Spirit.
That's right.
Not that God needs us in any of this, but he wants to use us.
He's with us in it.
Yeah, I know. And he's leading
us. Acts 1:8, Matthew 28.
He literally had,
19
he had a
20.
Vision, you know, and to go. And then, you know, it's just God is working and we never know what he's doing. And I think being in tune with the Holy Spirit and then also just being like pushing ourselves outside of our comfort. And you talked about comfort. And I think one of the other ways that we're comfortable is that we are so much, and this is just how we are. We are so much more comfortable with people who are like us.
Ooh.
And so when we're with people who aren't like us, who see things differently.
I'm so unique.
You know,
I'm not comfortable with anyone.
Right. That's right. Like we have to be willing to like disagree on things and still be okay.
Like whether or not a pumpkin spice latte is good or not.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah. I can't be friends with people who like that stuff. So, or whatever they do in March.
But God has made a way for us to
That's
be
right. We're still friends. So I think that's
what is the flavor of March?
I don't know, like Irish something, Irish cream. I don't know.
I wore an orange shirt, by the way, on St. Patrick's Day. I'm
Stuart, you're rebel.
You're rebel. Protestant.
That's right.
You know? They wear orange.
So yeah, just be comfortable and be
that's
like,
good.
Just be open handed. That's what Jesus was. Jesus.
What's so wild about that is like the New Testament. Like that is the major tension of the New Testament throughout Acts, especially is like the Gentiles coming into, but then you know Paul's saying in Romans 11, the Jews aren't excluded from this. Like they can, those who believe are brought in too. Like don't say hey, because that group of people rebel. So like my point is that like. With this, we really have to say this may change the culture of our church.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
And people don't.
And it's uncomfortable.
That.
It's uncomfortable.
They want worship how they want it. They want programs how they want it. That's mm-hmm. tough.
Because we want to be comfortable. We want people around us who look like us because then we feel validated.
We
feel like now this is the right track rather than, I mean.
You think that's why pastors are often more evangelistic because we feel unvalidated every week by people's criticisms that we're like,
you could have done this, you could have done
this. Might as well just please Jesus.
Yeah, man. Woof. Yeah, I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Invalidated, unvalidated.
Yeah, whatever the word is.
Does that make us an invalid?
In-
No, it doesn't.
No, not at all.
Was Jay an invalid?
No, she was not.
Okay.
And if so, she had probably had surgery to fix it. I don't know. Like, that's just, she was.
Jay has the money.
She did. Listen, we invited her to Josiah.
Were you
this
Where
was
you
just in like I don't. It was just we were in Roswell, Georgia, but she literally like for Josiah's first birthday, like you know, she bought him like one of those like battery powered cars. Like
wow,
like more than our parents. We're like, oh my goodness, this is
that's a why you didn't. That's why you didn't share the gospel with her, right? Because you're like, she'll stop giving us gifts.
That's right. We shared.
I'm just kidding, bro.
We actually had some good gospel conversations with her, and got to some of the source of you know church hurt and person hurt, relationship hurt. So
well, that's good. Well, speaking of that, our question really gets to that.
All right. So the question is, can gay people be a part of church on Bayshore? So this is a question that actually came up in Discover. In the beginning of March. And then, and also it's just a question that people
ask,
you know, hey, you know, have asked us like, what's our stance or what's our role or not role, but what do we believe about this? So let's answer.
Can I tell a story here?
Tell a story.
So,
story time.
Back to the
whole theme music,
like, Spirit of God moving. So I was at the gym, a couple weeks ago, and I went to get on the Stairmaster, and it's right next to one of the bikes, and I had a Bayshore kid shirt on. And this guy says to me, hey, do your kids go to school at Bayshore? And I was like, one of them went to preschool, but it's the church I'm part of. They're like, oh, I'm from
Bayshore Gardens in Bradenton. And I had actually had a friend who had been a pastor there. I brought that up and we were talking about some things. And then I was like, do you go to church anywhere? And he was like, you know, like he told me how 30 years ago, he started really becoming a part of a church in upstate New York. And he was honest that he had same-sex attraction desires, but because he believed the Bible, he was choosing not to do those things. And he ended up getting called into the pastor's office and kicked out of the church. And he hasn't been in a church since. And, you know, this is a gentleman who says, I don't want those desires, but I feel these desires. And so what would you call him, right? You know, and I mean, I have desires that still creep up that I wish, not those, but the other desires that I don't understand why Jesus hasn't taken away from me. And so do we kick me out of the church because of that?
Yeah.
And am I any better because they're heterosexual or because they're directed towards anger or frustration versus, you know, so I would say that, you know, guy, I mean, truthfully, I don't understand why he can't even be a member of the church, right? If he's really saying, hey, I submit this area of my life to Jesus.
Right.
Someone who is openly homosexual, still practicing homosexuality, you know, they would immediately go towards, in my opinion, Matthew 18, you know, I hate that phrase, but church discipline. So I don't think they should be a member of the church. But I mean, they're welcome here.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, as long as we're very clear, I mean, you shouldn't change the teaching of the church.
Right. Mm-hmm.
If you have a lot of people who might be struggling with certain areas, you might want to change your tone.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't understand why, unless they were like, you know, trying to be provoking, I don't understand why we wouldn't welcome those people here to hear the gospel and have love. And hopefully somebody's going to walk them through what is going on. Why do you believe that? Here is the discrepancy between you and the word of God. But I'll just say that's messy.
Yeah, it is, because we like things
and back
to clean.
To what
we like clear labels and clear talk. You know, I think a few things in this. One, like, where would any of us be without the grace of God? So I think as a church, we have to be people of grace. Two, there has to be for the church. I mean, there is clarity for our church and what we believe about human sexuality and marriage. I mean, that's established, one, from the word of God. Two, from what, you know, our interpretation, if you know, we have that established. So we aren't going to hide that. We're going to be clear in that.
Mm-hmm.
We're also not going to, like, use it as a weapon, which some people I think can do. There also has to be no bait and switch.
Right.
They believe this, but they will bury it under, and they'll actually use language that will intentionally attract. And then when it comes down to church membership, that's when people find out what the church really believes.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I think, only reinforces the hurt. I think
they're using people to look like a church.
Yeah, we want to look like we're cool and look like we're welcoming, but let's just be upfront. And I think ultimately, you know, we don't change anything the scriptures teach because of anyone's proclivity towards any type of sin.
Mm-hmm.
So that can't change. But what we do have to create, like, how are people saved?
Yeah.
They're saved by the word of God. They're saved because they trust in Jesus as their Savior.
Yeah.
And so, like, we don't expect people to be fully sanctified, well, ever, until we're with Jesus,
that's
but before conversion, you know?
Yeah.
And so, like, God, the gospel will change people's lives. So we are people who are gay or are same-sex attraction, well, they should be welcomed here, and we should help them engage in the truth of Scripture to see who Jesus is. Mm-hmm. And Jesus is the one who changes us.
That's right.
All of our desires.
Yeah. I mean, just a few thoughts, like, you know, I mean, would we say people who are divorced for unbiblical reasons and, you know, then remarry without their spouse ever remarrying aren't welcome here?
Yeah, we wouldn't.
Do we say that people who are cohabitating aren't welcome here? And I do think there are some churches that that is their approach, right? Basically, like Sunday morning is for believers. And so, you know, if they're consistent, I disagree with that model, but I get it. So I think we just need to be consistent in that, because it's disingenuous to treat, you know, some the other way. I do think, like, the argument I've heard is, well, like, if there's gay people, you know, attending the church and my kids see that, they'll think that's okay. Talk to your kids. Like, really? Like,
yeah.
No offense, but like, what kind of parent are you if you can't say, hey, yeah, you know, you saw that. That's not what God wants, but they're here trying to learn about Jesus. Our church isn't going to change what we believe. Here's why we don't do that. We show them in God's word. Like, to me, it's that great opportunity. And I mean, I don't know what to tell you. I think a lot of people's issue is cultural war versus Bible. And I do think part of it is a reaction to what you were talking about and how people have shifted too far. And then, you know, I was also just going to say to this, never mind. I won't say it.
There you go. So I won't have to edit it later.
Yeah, we can put it. We can put in the Boggy Talk content later.
There you go.
The bonus content. Yeah, is that what we call it?
That's right. That's right. For our subscribers who pay.
I will say this. You know, what Danny said in Orlando is, you know, there's a lot of progressive churches in Orlando. I don't think we have like one here, maybe two in Niceville, and they're not even that progressive.
Yeah.
But he said that they've had some of the people who experience same-sex attraction or identify as gay come to their church because they said, the churches that we're going to, that's all they ever talk about.
Mm-hmm. And he's like, we don't want to hear more about that. We want to know what the Bible says.
Because that church is built on this foundation of diversity, equality, inclusion, not the gospel.
Yeah.
And there are people who want to hear what God wants for their life.
Mm-hmm.
And they're hearing the whole picture of what God wants for their life. And that's what brings about the potential of transformation in an area of your life.
Right. And that's why it's so important for us to be like teaching the Bible
and
not skipping over things or saying, hey, this part's going to make people uncomfortable, but approach the part. Like, it's pretty obvious when you're teaching through scripture what's going to make people uncomfortable. I mean, all of it, because we're all but we're approaching it from like, this is only possible through Jesus, you know? Yeah. And so I think that's why it's so important that we're addressing it, but it's with grace and truth.
And I mean, I just guarantee you, like, I stand before God. So like, my goal is to reach people because of what God says. So that means I'm not going to take away from what God says when I'm teaching. And, you know, I was encouraged to listen to a church in this area teaching on sexuality, and the pastor went to Romans 1 and he was like, and everybody who's listening to this would know what church I'm talking about and this area. And he said, yeah, that a lot of people think that's mostly about homosexuality. It's about sexuality but we're not going to get into that. And I'm like, man, that's disingenuous.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like.
Yeah. Engage.
Bro, like, let's, you know, take the time to go through it, you know? So anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you have questions, ask.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, don't live in unclarity in this. You know, we're happy to talk more about this. So,
we ready for Mount Rushmore?
All right, Mount Rushmore. So we've been talking about everyone. So we're going to talk about Mount Rushmore of gospel conversations that we've had. So, I think it'd be good.
Four memorable.
You
want to go back and forth?
Yeah, let's go back and forth. We'll try to make these short without background. So, I mean, without too much background, but background's needed for all of them.
So the first one that came to mind was...
When I lived in Korea, and I was working with college students, and a group of us went hiking, and in Korea, especially in the southern part of South Korea, the Buddhist temples are all the bases of mountains out in nature. And so we went, and we were walking, and we go to this Buddhist temple, and I just was like, God, I was so brokenhearted for the people there. So I literally was like walking around the temple, like praying, like this is like, you know, whether it was naive faith or bold faith, I don't know. But I was like, Lord, I just want this temple to fall down right now. Like, I just pray. Like,
did it?
Not physically.
Okay. Okay.
But
okay.
So we're on the bus on the way home.
Story. Since the temple didn't physically fall down.
I know, right? So we were on the bus on the way home, and I was talking to one of the girls who was with us, and her name was Teddy. Terry was her English name, but used to, in Korean, we'd say Teddy. And she was like, you know, today, she's like, I'm from a Buddhist background, and today, every time I go to the temple, I always am feeling peaceful. And she said, but today when I was at the temple, I feel nothing.
I love it.
I feel nothing. My heart is empty. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my gosh. And so led to a gospel conversation. Now, she did not pray to receive Jesus on the bus, but she did months later accept Christ as her Savior and praise the Lord. And so, yeah, just God works. He works. So,
yeah, I'll start with Eli, who's recently been baptized here.
Yeah.
Really two-part. One, he came forward on a Sunday, you know, after, I don't even remember what I was preaching on that Sunday. He was visiting with a friend who's a believer and just clearly under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. We prayed to give his life to Jesus. I followed up and met with him for coffee that week. Mm-hmm. And we met for coffee, just really walked him through assurance of what the gospel was. And it was just awesome because he was like talking about it. And he's like, I feel like there was this old Eli and now there's this new Eli. And I'm like, have you ever read John 3? He's like, what? Like, didn't even know John was the book of the Bible. Now, this is a guy living in Niceville, military guy from Portland, you know, and I read John 3 and about being born again. He's like, I even know about that when I said that. And just to see the Holy Spirit bring in, he was blind and now he sees.
Yeah.
So it was awesome.
Yeah, that's so cool.
Yeah.
So next is a friend. His name is Tony. I have no idea if Tony listens to Boggy Talk, but this was a guy who came to church at a previous church, and he happened to just come on a Sunday that I was preaching, which I'm a worship pastor, so I didn't preach much. And at the end of the sermon, man, he just was broken down, weeping, and I had no clue what was going on. And so he actually reached out, and we began meeting together over months and months and months, and he had so many questions about the Lord. And so we just, question by question, just we sat and we talked, and at the time, you know, he's just this, and eventually, like, he was like, well, I guess that's all my questions. And this was after, like, probably 6 months, and I was like, so you're kind of just at this crossroads, like, what are you going to do? And he's like, I just don't think I'm ready. I was like, well, buddy, like, I'm here. And then, like, later that week, he actually, like, stopped at our house, knocked on the door, was like, I just gotta let you know, like, I'm ready. And he had received Jesus, and but, you know, he just had this crazy life. And you know, I think this goes back to what we were saying before, like, there have been a lot of things. It's like, all right, now that you're a Christian, you got to do this, 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 and this, and this. Rather, we just kept walking through Scripture and answering questions, and the Word was working in him, and he just began. The Holy Spirit was working, and it's just cool to see. He's a different man. Yeah.
I'm sharing this one because I think maybe this is helpful for some people. So, you know, when I started my previous church, I was working at Starbucks as a supervisor, really to meet people and lead people to Jesus. And so, you know, we had these little headsets, and at night it would be a little slower if I was working at night, and we would be talking to each other on the headsets, you know, as we're trying to clean up and all that. And there were three of us, actually there were four of us on the headset. And one of the girls working there was just clearly seeking, and she's asking me some questions, and I like pause. I was like, hey, is everybody okay with us having this conversation, like, on the headset, you know? And they're like, yeah, of course, blah, 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 I'm interested, blah, blah, and just was able to really walk her through, like, what the gospel is.
That's so cool.
And then,
people were listening.
Yeah, Angela, and she ended up getting baptized, you know, at her church a little while later, and married a believer, has kids, go to church. I mean, it's just awesome. And just to think about, like, that at work, like, there was no problem because I asked everybody, are you cool with this? And it was just really, and I don't know those other two people who were here. Yeah. One was a professing believer, the other was not. So I just thought that was cool, you know. So, you know, I mean, I was able to baptize like 11 of my coworkers.
Isn't that crazy?
I'm kind of missed that season
of
my life.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, you just have the opportunity. You're spending a lot of time with people, and you're going to talk.
Yeah, so. I mean, over 4 to 5 years, so not like in a day.
Wow.
Know, like, four,
everybody
two,
on my, that story would shift if you're speaking at a Christian pastor's conference. Yeah. You'd be like, so, in 1 week, 11 coworkers.
Most of them women, too, because, you know, there was only a few dudes. I was literally at one time the only straight guy working at that Starbucks.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
There you go. That's, hey, mission field.
Yeah.
So we talked a lot about sharing with neighbors, and, you know, we try to take those opportunities, and we even recently having some conversations. But one, this is where our previous house, you know, we had a neighbor who just was looking for every reason to not, like, he already, like, didn't want to believe, and he was also looking for more reasons not to believe. And, you know, we knew that, and so just really tried to be a good friend to him and his wife. And his wife actually came to church a good bit, but he actually started coming to a small group
was like willing to go to a small group. And I think he was, you know, I don't know what his intentions were, but, you know, something happened in that group and then he was just really upset about it. And so we just led to a really good gospel conversation where he just came over in the garage, like, dude, we just need to talk. And so we sat in the garage for like 2 hours and just shared to him like all these objections that you have are all objections you have to Christians, not to Jesus. Like you're talking about behaviors that you've seen, and in that learning that he came from a very legalistic Mormon background as well. So you've got those. I was like, all of your issues you're talking about are like not about Jesus. And he was just like, okay, yeah. I was like, dude, I want you to believe this more than anything, but I also know that I can't make you believe this. You know, and he didn't believe right then, but you just have to be faithful, you know? Like, you just have to be faithful, and hopefully God is still working in him, you know? And that also, we continued a relationship after that. Right. It wasn't like, well, I said all I need to say. I'm done with you, dude. Like, no, we're still neighbors.
Wait, you went to Mosaic and said this week, right? Because I don't know if you're at Emmanuel. I think you were at Emmanuel.
Yeah, yep.
So my next would be Dave Bellew, who you know.
Yeah.
You know, he had some
what a good guy.
Rough regrets from his life. Had kind of settled down with a great woman, Teresa, who, you know, is part of the
She
church,
is.
And adopted his
She is
grandson.
Wonder Woman.
Yeah, she's pretty awesome.
She would adopted never she grandson. Would be mad for she's mad at me right now because she listens to this and she's mad for saying
I know,
that.
I know. And they started kind of plugging into church, and I think part of it is, you know, Gage had come, he felt very awkward. Cameron, my son, really built a relationship with him, so they kept coming. They eventually started coming on Sunday morning. They eventually came to group one Wednesday night. And after we got done, and I don't go to group that much, but after we got done, Dave said, he's just a nice guy. He said, hey, I just want to thank you guys because I've never been a part of a Bible study before, and I don't know much about the Bible, and it's so helpful for me to hear you guys talking about it. And I say this to say this. If you ever hear anybody say something like that, run to them. And so the minute we dismissed, I ran to him. And I was like, hey, I was kind of lying. I'm like, hey, I have a Bible study with a group of guys. I didn't really. I wanted to start one, but so God knows I was lying, but also knows my heart here. And I was like, would you like to be a part of that to help you understand the Bible? And so he started coming to Panera at 6 o'clock in the morning with me and Mark Hayes, Chuck Hartness, and a couple other guys.
So you did start the Bible study.
I did start the Bible study. Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Hey, none of the other guys.
But I really
up,
didn't have the Bible study already. So anyway. And, like, I remember finally one morning he's like, I just don't know if this could ever be me. And he just basically was like, because I'm a sinner and I need God to make me righteous, blah, blah, blah. We're like, you're saved.
Yeah.
Like, you're literally confessing that Jesus is your Savior right now. Like, this is salvation. And he got baptized. And then, I mean, it's very memorable because within a year he died.
Yeah.
Like, and so, you know, just praise Jesus. That God worked in his life the way he did, you know, and to see the gospel just really take root.
God's so good.
Yeah.
You know, the last one I'll share was just this past trip. We took a mission trip to South Asia and we're sharing with people there. And there was this, and this, I actually had this picture on my wall in my office. There was an old man who was, anytime you go and do that, there's a crowd or a small crowd. And there was this old man. And I was like, everyone was listening, but I was talking to him, you know. And you don't know if they're genuine in their receptivity, you know, always. You don't really know. But there's a plan we have for follow-up with the local pastors there. But I don't know. I really just sensed that he was sincere. And when we asked, like, if you want to, like, confess, like, believe in Jesus, he did. You know, again, culture, there's a lot of things in play there. But as I was sharing, I was just so burdened because, I mean, he's an older man in a country where people don't necessarily live a long time. And I was just like, this could be his last opportunity to hear the gospel, you know? And I just was like, Lord, help. And I just think it was just such a great reminder of the urgency of the gospel. There's so many people here, and here there's access because there's believers, but there's so many places everywhere else that there's not access to the gospel. So, man, there's such urgency.
That's good. So my last one is just kind of full circle in our conversation. So I get an email. This is previous church. I get an email from Cheyenne and Tanisha who want relationship advice from me. you know, here there are, but there at Mosaic, just because the name of the church, we're a little less rigid in a lot of things. We would have, you know, homosexual couples attend for a while, you know, some for a long while as they learned about Jesus. And I'm like, I didn't know who these people were. And I'm like, they want to meet with me about their relationship. And this is, I don't like conflict. This is not going to be fun. Well, I showed up to meet with them and they came in and it was actually a guy named Cheyenne and a woman named Tanisha. And they were living together, though, had been living together for quite a while, and their relationship was struggling. And they're just talking to me, you know, about it. And I just, in a spirit of Holy Spirit boldness, was like, if you guys aren't going to surrender your lives to Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter what I say. And, man, they gave their lives to Christ. They eventually got baptized. And God just did a great work in their life. And, like, usually I would, like, play that long, right? But just for whatever reason, I just felt like, we're wasting our time.
Just the Holy Spirit.
And so just praise God for that.
Yeah, that's awesome. You know, and I think, you know, just reiterate, like, the reason in sharing these stories isn't to – there's nothing boastful in any of this. It's just to encourage people.
No, I'm terrible. Hey, I suck at this.
You know, I'm like, man – I need to be sharing more and more and more and more and more. And I think we just all need to
be people. Are going to heaven, some of them.
Yeah, that's right. You know,
maybe
and I think,
all of them. We don't know.
You know, and I think, you know, some of mine like stories were like, they didn't, you know,
receive. Yeah, no, I like
it's
that.
Like, just
see what you did
just
there.
Share. Just share, you know, like the Holy Spirit is working. So just share. Be faithful to share. And you don't know, like we don't know in sharing the gospel or like where we are, you know, like we don't know if we're the seed planter or if we're the one who's going to be the one who's the seeds have been planted and we're just there. We just happen to be there when the harvest is, you know,
so
ready.
That's funny. You say this girl I work with at Starbucks who came to Mosaic some back in the day. I say girl, she's 40 something now, but like just out of the blue, like 3 years after she had moved, sends me, hey, take a look at this. And it was her getting baptized at another church.
Yeah, cool.
Like, and she was just like, thank you.
Thanks.
Like,
yeah.
I didn't lead her to Jesus, but, you know, those seeds were planted. So you never know, right?
You never, ever, ever know.
Billy Graham said it takes 21 people for someone to accept the gospel. And he's like, I just happened to end up being the 21st a lot.
Yeah,
that's what he said, you know. And
that's
so
good.
I think that's great.
That's good. Hey, so be inviting people. To Easter this weekend.
You
know, it is a time when people will be like, okay, sure, I'll come. So take advantage of that leverage.
I'm not going to be talking about five principles to, you know, a happy financial life on
there
Easter Sunday.
That would be, man, what a
you
waste
would
of a
call
Sunday.
You would call me into like, your office
James,
on Monday morning.
What
you?
The world?
Steve Renna wouldn't wait until he'd come after the 8 o'clock service
like,
and be
dude,
like, bro,
what
are you doing?
Yeah, that's right. Are you okay? Are you feeling okay?
Yeah, I know.
That's exactly.
Anyway.
So, just be inviting people and just take advantage of the opportunity and, you know, just love people well. Love people well,
so
be there for them. And
the application today is the gospel should be coming out of our wazoo.
No, out the wazoo.
out the wazoo.
That's a saying, right? Sometimes I say things
I've
and
heard
I'm like,
it.
That's a saying, and
I
I'm
just,
like, I don't think
you
that's
have
a
so,
saying.
You could be a Southern grandmother. All the colloquialisms that come out of Justin Wyatt's mouth.
Well, you know, and then sometimes I say them, though, and I'm like,
Grandma Justin.
That
that's
one?
What I'm going to start calling you.
Is
grandma
that one?
Justin.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, well, I grew up with a grandma who said lots of things like that. So, and a lot of people. So, anyway, hey, thanks for tuning in.
I
and
can't tell
forward.
You the things my grandma said on Boggy Talk.
Beep, beep. Hey, we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to Boggy Talk. We are so glad you joined in the conversation. Go ahead and subscribe so you don't miss a beat.